Psalm 97:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Psalm 97:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Psalm 97:10. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. Psalm 138 verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, verse 7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. All of us are aware of the fact that we are studying Satan, evil, sin. So if you study the Bible on those three subjects, you'll find a tremendous amount of information. So we want you to know that we're going to be here for a little while. But tonight we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And before we turn to that passage and begin our reading, may we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful this evening that we have the wonderful privilege of being here. Once again, to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent truths of your word. You've given us so many blessings. We're the recipients of grace and salvation. We're the recipients of grace by which to live each day. And we thank you also for the fact that you've given us in your word the assurance that one day when it's time for us to leave this life, you will give us the grace of departing. We thank you for your blessings. In these moments of study this evening, help us to have open minds and open hearts that we may be able to receive the things that we need to receive, that we may then be able to make application of these truths. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see now three words which we have been emphasizing over a period of time. Three words for evil. You will see that there is the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. There's the Greek word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And then there's the Greek word phalos, which is P-H-A-U-L-O-S. I'm going to give you time again to look at these words. First of all, the word kaikos. We've looked at that in a passage in recent days. The word means opposition to the goodness of the character of God. There are many aspects other than that, but that's some basic information related to the word kaikos. The word poneros, as you can see on the screen, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, is an emphasis upon opposition to divine viewpoint. Opposition to divine viewpoint. Then you'll notice that the last word that we have listed there for you is the Greek word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. This is an emphasis upon opposition to divine good. Tonight we deal with the subject, how to oppose the enemy. And we find that in our scripture for this evening, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I trust that you found it in your Bible and you also look at it in the bulletin of last Sunday. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2, 5 is a magnificent verse indeed. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you look at your bulletin, you will see the translation from the Greek. I also will put it on the screen for you now. If you cannot find it in your bulletin, you do not have it, then you look at it here on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The first word that I emphasize this evening in this verse is the verb, and it is the word translated mind. It is the Greek word which you can see here on the screen, P-H-R-O-N-E-O, phroneo. A beautiful word indeed. We want to be sure that we get that word down. You ought to write it down. Not only write the word mind, but write the word phroneo, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Notice how the word is used. It is a present tense, active voice, imperative mood, second person, plural, of the word phroneo. All of you are aware of the fact that when we deal with a verb, we take a look at the various aspects of that verb. This one is so powerful, so important, so we're going to take a look again at the various aspects of the Greek word phroneo. The way it is used here is it's a present tense. The present tense means continuous action. We probably need to talk about that a little bit. In other words, God's plan is for us to have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. It is not something to have once a week, once a month, or once a year. This is an emphasis upon continuous action. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So the present tense means continuous action. Most of us know now the meaning of the active voice. The active voice is the subject produces the action of the verb. This reminds us that each one of us have the responsibility of having the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why it is an active voice. The subject produces the action of the verb. Then you'll notice that the IMP there stands for the fact that this verb is in the imperative mood. And this, of course, is a powerful mood indeed. In other words, this is a command. And so the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Philippian believers and to us here tonight, we have the responsibility of obeying this major command. "Let this mind be in you," it's a command, "which was also in Christ Jesus." What I need to remind you this evening is that God has given us a system to oppose satanic and evil presentations. A system to oppose God is what Satan does. And you and I have the responsibility of opposing the satanic thinking, which is so prevalent in our day. Evil, as you can see on the screen, is a system of opposition to God. And that system of evil comes in many forms. What I try to do in recent days is to take a look at the various subjects related to evil. And I have jotted myself some additional notes, so I'm going to share these with you as we move along this evening. First of all, you'll notice that I have listed legalism. I also have socialism. I have some other points listed, and I'm going to go to those because I want you to be able to see that I'm trying to see where all I put all my notes because I have it all listed here. And here it is. I knew I would find it. And so I want you to see, first of all, the subject of socialism. Socialism is a human panacea which is expected to solve the problems of the world apart from God, His Word, His laws of divine establishment. When I first started this, I had just very brief definitions And that's the reason why I've come back to rewrite and have some additional information for you. The first one is socialism. I want you to be able to see what we have here. This is so unique. Socialism is a human panacea, which is expected to solve the problems of the world apart from God, the Word of God, and the laws of divine establishment. What we find here is that socialism is a distortion of truth, a destruction of society, the malfunction of society. In other words, this is a removal of legitimate authority, social action, restriction of human freedom for the greater good, distortion of the law to solve social and economic problems. So we have an emphasis here then on the subject of socialism. I'm going to do my best to give you my translation of these various things. Socialism. The second one is, the first one was legalism. The second one was socialism. I already explained that. And number three, solving human problems with human solutions. Solving human problems with human solutions. What I also emphasize here is the subject of religion. And I put down, religion is that which takes evil, and evil always takes religion and perverts, misrepresents, twists, distorts, abuses, misuses God's thoughts and God's plan for man. You can see what I try to do. I try to put some things together for you to be able to see how Satan uses these various aspects. Religion, again, evil perverts, misrepresents, twists, distorts, abuses, misuses God's thoughts and God's plan for man. Since truth came before the false, then one objective of evil is to pervert truth. You can add something to truth that is false, and you know what you'll have? You'll have something that is false. So let's look at it again. You can add something to truth that is false, and it'll be false. God's plan is distorted when man adds his thoughts, ideas, concepts, plans. In fact, anything human added to divine pollutes and degrades the divine. Most of us are aware of the fact that we have, given by our Heavenly Father, the ability to admit our faults and failures and sins and be forgiven. So we're going to emphasize here that sin is handled by confession. Most of us understand that. But the emphasis for tonight is evil is handled by concentration. Last Sunday, if you remember, we emphasized the word concentrate. Didn't spend a lot of time there, but we understand now that we must be able to see that evil, satanic thinking, is handled by concentration. And that's the reason why we have this magnificent verse before us this evening. Philippians 2:5 says, again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word phroneo is the word that we could translate as think. God desires that we think, that we concentrate, and that we give attention to what God has to say for us. When I was making preparation for this, I found this statement by Charles Dickens. He said, I never could have done what I've done without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence, without the determination to concentrate myself on one subject at a time. I want you to look at that for a few moments and see. Charles Dickens was saying, I never could have done what I've done in life without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence, without the determination to concentrate myself on one subject at a time. My question for you this evening is, what does the word concentrate mean? Concentrate means to ignore the irrelevant and focus on the relevant, to be totally absorbed, to give undivided attention, to regard the fullness, emphasize heedfulness. In other words, we get away from Satan's thinking when we become possessed with divine thinking. We've said this a bunch of times, and I want to repeat that again this evening. Satanic thinking is Satan's plan for all of us. He doesn't want us to think God's thoughts. He doesn't want us to live in accordance with God's plan. We get away from satanic thinking when we become possessed with divine thinking. You'll notice a few moments ago, I mentioned a number of different things that we find as evil. I wanted to show you that we have some other, and that is political internationalism, a political movement that advocates a greater economic and political cooperation among nations. That's another area. Another area is government interference, education, health, big government, bribery in government, political corruption, institutional corruption, cozying up to public officials. Do you have anyone doing that today? Campaign cash, pay to play. Another one is reducing the military. Another is sociology, improve man's adjustment to life. Another is public welfare, government ensuring physical, social, and financial conditions. You'll notice that I put another one down here, altruistic humanitarianism, benevolence, charity, kindness. You can see all of these that I've listed, and you'll notice that we have the emphasis on thinking, not satanic thinking, but thinking God's thinking. Now we have about 10 points for you. Let's go. When a believer is perceptive to the divine and to the divine, and as spiritual life advances by spiritual food residing in the soul, that person will be the spiritual salt to preserve home, family, and nation. I wanted to go rapidly until I got to this point so that now we can begin to take these notes. When a believer is perceptive to the divine, the God's divine plan, and as the spiritual life advances by spiritual food residing in the soul, that person will be the spiritual salt to preserve home, family, and nation. What I think I ought to do there is spend a little time talking about point one. Notice, if you will, please, that it begins like this. When a believer is perceptive to that which is divine, I take it that every person in this auditorium this evening has a desire to be perceptive to God's plan. When a believer is perceptive to the divine plan, and as the spiritual life advances by spiritual fuel residing in the soul, that person will be the spiritual salt to preserve home and family and nation. Many years ago, we emphasized these letters, S-F-R-I-S. In case that may be new to some of you, let me be sure that I'm emphasizing it properly this evening. That stands for spiritual fuel or spiritual food residing in the soul. I emphasize that tonight because of the power of it. You and I have the responsibility as an individual, a born-again believer, to have our soul, individual soul, saturated with the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we have Philippians 2:5. Let this mind, it's an imperative verb, a command. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we advance spiritual fuel residing in the soul, we will become the spiritual salt to preserve home, family, and our nation. I'm giving you time to take that because it's very, very important to remember what your responsibility is as a born-again believer. Number two, when a believer is non-perceptive to truth, that simply means that that person has not been hearing and properly responding. When a believer is non-perceptive to truth, then he will be changed by the genius of Satan. This sentence is so compound that we need to break it apart and let you see it in divisions. When a believer is non-perceptive to the Word of God, that means that that person is not willing to hear, and that person is not willing to properly respond. When that happens, then that person will be changed by the genius of Satan. And in doing so, notice this, and will eliminate the only protection for his individual soul. Sometimes I type these sentences out, and I know that they're compound sentences, not simple sentences. And that's the reason why I feel like I need to stop and just let you see how we need to break these sentences into smaller sections. When a believer is non-perceptive, not interested in the Word of God, not interested in hearing, not interested in properly responding, what's going to happen is that person will be changed by the genius of Satan, satanic thinking. And in doing so, will eliminate the only protection for his or her soul. In other words, it's sad when people have that protection moved aside. The only protection of your soul and my soul is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Distraction from God's Word and entanglement with evil always results in spiritual disaster. Did you notice what we're trying to emphasize there? Distraction from God's Word and entanglement with evil results in spiritual disaster. Since I have 10 points, let's move along. Number 3. I don't know whether you've thought about this in recent days, but the problem Solomon presents in Proverbs chapter 5 relates to the subject of syphilis. Now, I think what you want to do is go to Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and open your Bible to the 5th chapter of the book of Proverbs. This chapter is an interesting chapter because it deals with how young people should consider life and the temptations that come in life. I don't know whether I should get into this in any detail, but I'm going to a little bit. There's an emphasis here upon young people becoming involved with immoral individuals. There's an emphasis here on prostitution. There's emphasis here on the various diseases that come as a result of immorality, lasciviousness. So the problem Solomon presents related to syphilis is found in Proverbs 5, 12 and 13. And I want to read these verses that I have on the screen and then go back with you to your Bible to the 5th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Here we find the words, "Oh, if only I had listened. Oh, if only I had listened. If only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why wouldn't I take advice? Why was I so stupid?" Now, I realize that what I'm doing right now is bringing your attention to some information that you normally do not see and normally do not read. In the 5th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we find, beginning with verse 1, and I'm asking you to turn to Proverbs 5:1. "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." Now, you may want to take a few seconds and just look at that, because otherwise, if I read it too rapidly, you'll miss it. "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." Verse 4, "But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. Verse 6, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. I read that to give you preparation for what I'm going to read now. Because I'm afraid that if I read, first of all, what I'm going to read now, your shock would have been entirely too much. And so now we're going to move from a woman, young lady, who's immoral, to what happens to individuals who become involved in sexual immorality. The problem Solomon presents related to syphilis is found here in Proverbs 5, 12 and 13, and I'm going to read all of that again, but I'm reading now the part that I put for you to see. Oh, if only I had listened. If only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why wouldn't I take advice? Why was I so stupid? For now I must face disgrace. Another translation of verse 14 is, I was immediately in all evil. I have it written for you. I was immediately in all evil, in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I came close to being completely ruined. Now, I took time to type all of this because I now want you to follow me as I read verses 7 and following. Verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. I think I've laid enough foundation for you to be able to see what is being said here. Lest you give your vigor to others, and your years to the cruel one. Should I interpret that? Should I explain that? I don't think it's necessary. It would be a little raw. 3X, if I did. I'm going to let you see it for yourself from the Word of God. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien. Do you see why I'm reading so deliberately and slowly? Because I'm allowing you to allow the Spirit of God to take these words and sink deep into your minds. And you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. That's the reason why I've written here. The problem Solomon presents relates to syphilis in Proverbs 5, 12 and 13. Let me read on. I repeat verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien, and you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. And then you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. And I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. In doing my study, I found this particular statement. Do you know how to save yourself from sexual trouble? Do you know enough to teach sexual safety to others? King Solomon taught his children often about sexual sins, their powerful temptations, and their terrible consequences. In Proverbs 2:16-19, in Proverbs 5:1-23, in Proverbs 6:20-35, Proverbs 7:1-27, Proverbs 9:13-18, Proverbs 22:14, Proverbs 23:27-28, Proverbs 30:19-20, Proverbs 31:3, Ecclesiastes 7:26. Pay attention. Beware. Some of you are saying, please, I want to take those verses, but you said them too rapidly. All right, I heard you. Proverbs 2:16-19. Proverbs 5:1-23. Proverbs 6:20-35. Proverbs 7:1-27. Some of you are saying, I didn't get them all, so I'll have to listen to the internet and find it there. You do that. It'd be well for you to get these verses down and look them up and read them slowly. Proverbs 9:13-18. Proverbs 22:14. Proverbs 23:27-28. Proverbs 30:19-20. Proverbs 31:3. Ecclesiastes 7:26. Consider the context. Solomon asked his son to humbly hear the father's wisdom and understanding in Proverbs 5:1. And he called on his children, all of his children, to receive instruction and not turn it away. Proverbs 5:7. What did he fear so much in their lives? He feared the whorish woman. The whorish woman. He knew about her flattering speech. Proverbs 5:3. The incredibly painful consequences of touching her. Proverbs 5:4-5. And how can she easily deceive and seduce most young men? Proverbs 5:5. I've not done this before, but I feel like it's important for you to hear. Fornication and adultery are nearly forgotten sins in our day. They're glamorized, promoted on television, movies, books, magazines, the internet. Everywhere you go, what do you find? Many of the stars of society, whether political, performing, or athletic stars, live sexually sinful lives that are seen by most as the good life today. But the Bible condemns fornication and adultery. And it calls the children of God to sexual holiness. 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. No matter how young or old you may be in this auditorium tonight, let me tell you something. This information is not going to hurt you at all. You need to have it. 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. Hebrews 13:4. Casual sex is only casual in the foolish thoughts of two sinners doing it. I repeat, casual sex is only casual in the foolish thoughts of two sinners doing it. The trouble that certainly follows is not casual. It is painful, permanent, pernicious. Take your pick. You will reap one or more of these results: jealousy, syphilis, divorce, herpes, ruined reputation, gonorrhea, insecurity, HIV, sexual dysfunction, vengeful father or husband, Krebs, irate wife, HPV, lost virginity, guilt, unwanted pregnancy, shame, and so forth and so on. The proverb has a clear lesson with two parts. First, the wise instruction from God and parents to help save you from sexual sin and pain. I'm going to repeat that. When we come to the book of Proverbs, like we're doing now, there's a clear lesson here with two parts. First, the wise instruction from God and parents to help save you from sexual sin and pain. Second, the wise instruction from God and parents to help you save others from sexual sin and pain. The question that we have is, have you learned enough to save yourself? Have you learned enough to help others? Does wisdom guide your life and supply your speech for others? Your future and that of others depend upon it. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that this is not the easiest thing for me to do, but I want you to see it again on the screen. The problem Solomon presents related to syphilis in Proverbs chapter 5. When he said, "Oh, if only I had listened, if only I had not demanded my own way. Oh, why wouldn't I take advice? Why was I so stupid?" Verse 14, "For now I must face disgrace." Another translation of verse 14 is, "I was immediately in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I came close to being completely ruined." I told you I had 10 points, point four. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil." Many times people misunderstand the word fear. It doesn't mean to be afraid here. It means to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not wise in your own eyes. Be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and depart from evil, which simply means detest evil and leave it. Number five, we live in such a fantastic time. We're living in the age of grace. Can I tell you how wonderful this time is? This is a magnificent time to be alive. We live in this fantastic time, the age of grace. We have a choice to make every day. It's either God's truth on the one hand or evil on the other hand. Proverbs 11:18-19 says, "The evil person gets rich for the moment, but the one sowing righteousness has a reward that lasts forever." You want to write that verse down. We're looking at Proverbs 11. I just read 18. In a few moments, I'll read 19. But look at verse 18 again. "The evil man gets rich for the moment, but the one sowing righteousness has a reward that lasts forever." Verse 19 says, "A perceptive life leads to an abundant life, but a pursuer of evil is a pursuer of the sin unto death." You ought to write these verses, Proverbs 11:18-19. Number six, Proverbs 14:22. "Will they not go astray who devise evil? But grace and truth, God's message, shall be to them that devise good." That's God's good. Intrinsic good, agathos, Verse 22, those who plot evil shall wander away and be lost. But those who plan good, God's good, shall be granted mercy and peace and quietness. Please don't miss this. Proverbs 14:22. Will they not go astray who devise evil? But grace and truth, God's message, shall be to them that devise good. Intrinsic good. Intrinsic good. God's good. Agathos. Verse 22. Those who plot evil shall wander away and be lost. But on the other hand, those who plan good shall be granted mercy and peace and quietness. Number 7. Are you getting tired? Please, my friends, take these points down and take these scripture references down. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's an emphasis upon the subject of omnipresence. Beholding, omniscience, the evil and the good. Some of you are saying, back up. Yes, I'll do it. Just because you ask it. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. An emphasis upon the magnificent biblical subject of omnipresence. Those three O's, remember? Beholding, omniscience, the evil, and the good. Point 8, Proverbs 16:6. By grace and the word, truth, iniquity is purged. Look at that. I put in parentheses. A person recovers from being out of harmony by grace and truth. If you get out of harmony, you've got to get back into proper relationship with the Lord. How you do it? By the grace of God, the truth of God. Iniquity is purged. And by occupation with Christ, men, women, boys, and girls depart from evil. The Living Bible tells us this in translation. Evil is avoided by reverence for God. I like that translation. Evil is avoided by reverence for God. Point 9. Wise or a simpleton? Which? A wise person is a grace-abounding believer. The grace-abounding believer sees the evil and immediately runs away from it. He hides himself. Look at this. For sees and prepares to avoid. When I'm studying and I find verbs, I want to give you more of what it says. Do you see what I'm saying here? So, when he hides himself, it means he sees the problem and he runs and hides to get away from it. But the simpleton, what's the simpleton? The ignorant, the stupid, goes on into evil and is punished by it. That's the meaning of that verse. You'll say, well, where is the verse found? I just gave it to you. Or did I? I don't guess I did I? Wise or a simpleton? Which? A wise, grace-abounding believer sees the evil. He hides himself. Oh, I know what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to tell you that you had to look this up when you got home. Isn't that wonderful that I remembered what I had forgotten? So you need to write this down. Wise or simpleton? You have to ask yourself the question, am I a wise person or a simpleton? Which? A wise person is a grace-abounding believer who sees the evil and he hides himself. But the simpleton, the ignorant, the unlearned, the out of fellowship, goes on into evil and is punished by it. The Living Bible says, the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You know what? We're going to be able to get all this in this period of time. Number 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. And that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, evil men. For all men do not have the truth. All men do not have the truth. Where is that found? 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. And if you're very careful, you're going to be able to discover something that I didn't tell you a little bit ago. And that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men. For all men do not have the truth. But notice the rest of the passage. But the Lord is faithful, who shall confirm you and keep you, guard you from evil. If you didn't get any other passage tonight, be sure you get this one. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize that we've involved ourselves in seeing a lot of verses tonight. Startling, pungent, powerful verses. We pray that each one of us here this evening will understand that you have a plan for us as an individual. We could draw an invisible circle around self tonight and just simply say, Lord, I know you have a purpose and a plan for the person inside of this invisible circle. That's me. We realize that you know each one of us here tonight. You know our individual hearts, our individual needs. And for those who hear this message by way of the internet, some out there have yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Help them to understand that their greatest need this evening is to know Jesus Christ personally. We're grateful tonight for the fact that God loved us so much that He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be buried, to come forth out of that grave victorious over death and sin and hell and the grave, to ascend us into the Father's right hand, to save, to make intercession for us. May those individuals who yet have never trusted you, trust you now. Realizing that Jesus said, I am the way. That's only one way. There's only one way of salvation. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There are so many verses in the Word of God that present to us so vividly that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. But we look again at that verse where Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That tells us over and over again that there's only one way of salvation, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many who will do that. And we thank you again for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.